Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio. We have appropriate professionals in the office from Prout Financial Design. Joining us today, Mr. Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for listening. And joining us today, too, is Heidi Thompson.
Ta-tum.
Good morning.
Managing Executive and Representative. We certainly appreciate you having in with us. Shay is away, is doing as many are doing, quarantining.
And Working from home.
Hello, Shay.
So most of our staff are going to be off-site now.
So how many people normally would be in your office and how many are now, roughly?
About nine, and we're moving back to about four. We'll probably go back to a skeleton crew of two to three. So where we were looking for a place to park a week ago, no longer.
Are you doing meetings with clients?
That's going to be severely limited. For critical paperwork and questions that can only be answered face-to-face, we'll be there for that. But if possible, please have your meetings off-site. That makes sense for everybody in the interventions that the health area and the departments and all the rest of them are trying to employ.
Right.
We're embracing that as best we can.
So all you right. can either sign up for a phone meeting, and we can do it by phone, but we also utilize Zoom, which a lot of people use, which is the video, so you can see the person you're talking to. You can share screens. We've worked on having our portal updated so that we can mirror what the client is seeing. And so as they're like showing with their cursor what they're interested in knowing more about, we can see their cursor. And so we know exactly what line they want to talk about or which asset. And it was sort of cool to go through the training this week on
that. Yeah, we just tried that out yesterday. And so your statements that you get online or that you're able to view, you'll want to get up to speed on that. If you don't currently have your client and you want to do that, just call our office. We'll help you work on that. Nathan would be the one to speak to there about that. And we can show you in concert together with you looking at it, as Heidi just mentioned, as well as us. So we can look at all the particulars, and look at the details. And as a note, this is, I talked to Wade Van Housen, the chemical bank, this morning. And he said, isn't it amazing to think about in the last month what's happened in the market and the economy? It's causing all of us, including me, of course, to just spin our heads around. It's beyond belief in some respects. And so we're going to talk about what's happening, what we see in the economy, what we're getting from experts, including J.P. Morgan and many others, as well as what you can do and possible steps that are usable for you in this kind of environment. And we're at war. It's just how it is. So let's make the most of it. And in having conversations with my clients, it's been absolutely inspiring, absolutely incredible. Not everybody's handling it the same way because obviously everyone's different. But just to hear our people, their independence, their care for each other, their focus on family, their willingness to be flexible and say, you know, and others, what can we do with what there is now? Should we make adjustments? We're having those ongoing conversations with our clients. You are certainly welcome to call us. We'll make the most and do our best to get back to you ASAP. The phone number at our office, should you need to, is 231-947-3992. Now, to start the show, Jill gave me something here from C.S. Lewis that I thought might be helpful. So this was written a while back, in 1948.
A few years ago.
He's a little more familiar with death in this, so prepare yourself with this, because they were more familiar with death in those days.
It gets a little dark in the middle.
It does. But I thought this was, there's a great intro here. This was done through, from Matt Smethurst. I'm not sure who he is. But anyway, I thought it was really well done. Here we go. It's now clear that COVID-19 is a deadly serious global pandemic, and all necessary precautions should be taken. Still, C.S. Lewis's words written 72 years ago ring with some relevance for us. Just replace atomic bomb, perhaps, with coronavirus in your own mind. In one way, we think a great deal too much of the atomic bomb. How are we to live in an atomic age? I am tempted to reply, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century, when the plague visited London almost every year. Or as you would have lived in a Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night. Or indeed, as you are already living in an age of cancer, and then an age of syphilis, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railway accidents, an age of motor accidents. In other words, don't let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented, and quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. That's where it gets a little dark, isn't it?
Yeah.
We had indeed one very great advantage over our ancestors, anesthetics. But we have that still. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances, and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. So we've certainly extended that, and it's interesting to hear. Last paragraph. This is the first point to be made and the first action to be taken to pull ourselves together. If we're all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, or in this case a coronavirus, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things. Praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies. A microbe can do that. He actually said that. But they need not dominate our minds. Amen and amen.
So, be cautious but not fearful.
Don't live in fear.
Yeah. And it's a tough row to hoe sometimes, especially given the news of the day, which tends to be overly negative. Some would refer to that as negativity bias. So, Ron, this does not apply to you or Colleen and your team. In fact, Jill said to me the other day, she said, you know, how do I keep up with all this? I said, well, first of all, listen to WTCM in the mornings.
Thank you.
So, yes.
You know, I was struck yesterday watching the White House press conference. So several of the reporters were almost, and I've seen this before, obsessed with what could happen. How bad could it get? Yeah. Could unemployment go to 20%? And so it was really, it doesn't matter what the answer is. That's not useful information. It's just speculation, projection.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of that. And it was focused on negative. And
yes.
How bad could this get?
Historian Deirdre, to emphasize that, Deirdre McCloskey once said, for reasons I have never understood. Now, this is a while back. People like to hear that the world is going, I'll just say it, going to heck. Negativity bias is the universal tendency for bad events and emotions to affect us much more strongly than positive ones. That is a classic negativity bias deal. The great philosopher John Stuart Mill recognized this psychological phenomenon in the 1840s. He wrote, "I have observed that not the man who hopes when others despair, but the man who despairs when others hope is admired by a large class of persons as a sage." Mm-hmm. Part of this is our anthropological survival instinct. Warren Buffett once said, "In order to succeed, you must first survive." And this from Ray Dalio, an excellent economist. A number of media writers have in private told me that their editors have specifically hired them to write negative, sensationalistic stories because they sell the best. We all knew that intuitively, didn't we? It was good to me to read. Good for me to read this, honestly. I'm not preaching at you necessarily, but also at myself. I need to hear this stuff. They explained that the public's short attention span has required them to produce attention-grabbing headlines and stories to face financial decline. So that's only part of what we're talking about, but I wanted to emphasize the importance of keeping your head when everyone else is losing theirs as a part of us. But of course, and I'm not saying this, to look at the world through rose-colored glasses, because this is indeed, as I mentioned, a war that we're in. And so I want to read the letter that we've sent to clients. You may find this helpful as well. And then Heidi's going to do our Shea stats, as it were. And then we're going to go back to the economics of the situation. As you're probably aware, we are in troubling times due to the coronavirus, COVID-19, and its an effect on the global economy. It's hard to determine reality when reactions to the market have been so dramatic, as not to understate the tragic loss of those who passed due to the illness. We would also like to offer clarity to the situation. What might be very apparent to you right now is your own comfort level with risk as you've watched the stock market drop. It's moments like these that help you determine how you'd actually like to allocate your funds versus how you thought you would have liked. Another consideration is your own age and proximity to retirement. At Prout Financial Design, we invest our clients' portfolios very much like our own. Our strategies tend to be conservative in nature as we look at the long game, not short-term gains. Our office is deeply connected to financial resources that guide us in our investment decision-making. If you're concerned about your own portfolio, risk tolerance, and future financial plans, please contact us anytime so that we may help allay any fears. There is no crystal ball, of course. No one can know for certain how the virus will spread or how the stock market will respond. Rest assured, we are dialed into our expertise and are here to guide you to the best of our abilities. Next, Heidi, if you would.
Okay, so these are the Shea stats read by Heidi today. So the first one comes to us from BTN Research, and the bull market is over. I think we knew that, but the bull market for the S&P 500 that began on March 10th, 2009 is now officially over. The bull market lasted 131 months. It peaked on February 19th this year at 3,386 points. Over that time period, it gained 529% total return, or an annualized gain of 18.3% per year.
18.3% per year.
Correct. 18.3% per year total return, and set 255 all-time closing highs. It was the 11th and longest bull market since the end of World War II, producing the second largest overall gain.
Even with that gain, it was still the second largest.
Yeah.
Amazing, huh?
It is. So our next one is Getting It All Back, and that's also by BTN Research. And in all 11 bear markets that suffered a 20% decline in the S&P 500 index in the last 75 years, before last week's 12th bear market, the stock market eventually recovered 100% of the loss sustained. So that is like going above the previous bull market high. The average time that it took the stock market to recover back to a new high closing price from the low point in the downturn was 24 months.
The average period, 24 months. And we've actually had that question from many of our clients, you know, given whenever we see the bottom of this, about what is the reaction time? 2 years, interesting, I thought.
That's 2 years to get back to where it was, or was it?
Correct. Well, right. To the all-time high.
Okay.
Back to the all-time high. Right. But what I think is interesting as well is this has been very quick. This decline has been very quick. So, I mean, this is just the average. They're not saying that it will
We've
take
never
that
seen
long.
A decline this quickly, so. Ever.
Is this the economy was healthy going into this? Unemployment mm-hmm. was very low. The stock market was high. Wages were going up. All those indicators were good. So... Does that mean, do you think, here's my speculative question, because it was such a healthy economy when this thing hit, when we start to turn the corner on coronavirus, do you think the economy will spark up any faster?
The word on the street is as soon as the increase in the cases start to come down, even anticipating that, we're going to see the stock market start to go back up again. And I would agree with that. I think that makes sense. They're anticipating the people that we look to, the health professionals, are saying approximately end of April right now, although that variety is significant between what they're expecting. It's given the level of intervention that we're seeing, which is trying to tamp down, obviously, this increase that we could possibly see in the R-naught number, the ability of one person or the capability of one person to spread it to a variety of others. They're trying to stop that so that our health system can handle this crisis. They are, just speaking with our son last night, they are extremely concerned about their ability to handle this just from the ventilator standpoint. If we have the typical growth, they're not going to be able to handle the number of people. So that's why, even though, you know, the question is on the street, well, everyone relatively who's younger is recovering from this, yes, but they're finding that they're needing hospitalizations. And if our health area gets crunched and overdone, then they're going to have to make decisions that they don't want to make because they can't administer appropriate care. That's why they're doing all of this tamping down of this getting together and wanting people to stay in their homes.
So that we don't have that quick increase where we can't keep
it
up with.
It is absolutely exponential. So that when you hear them saying they're trying to slow down that curve, that's what they mean, that exponential increase that we would typically see in a pandemic that, frankly, Italy saw and China did not, even though their numbers are problematic. They didn't follow, China, rather, did not follow any of those increases. They started, but because they intervened so drastically, they stopped it pretty much in its tracks. We'll see how they do in the future here.
We'll see. So the next one we have to talk about, it's titled Maybe. This comes from the Social Security. The White House introduced the possibility of a payroll tax cut for U.S. employees last week in response to the economic impact of the virus. The Social Security payroll tax rate paid by employees has been 6.2%, and that's been since 1990, except we had a 2% reduction to the rate during that two-year period of 2011-2012.
Interesting. There's also been a payment deadline extended by the IRS to July 15th of 2020. The payment relief includes individuals' income tax payment deadlines for individual returns with a due date of April 15th of 20 are being automatically extended until July 15th for up to $1 million of their 2019 tax due. This payment relief applies to all individual returns, including self-employed individuals and all entities other than C corporations, such as trusts or estates. IRS will automatically provide this relief to taxpayers. Taxpayers do not need to file any additional forms or call the IRS to qualify for this relief. And this is directly from the IRS.
And this is really nice, especially for people who, you know, you're trying to deal with a lot of interruptions to your normal information places. You know, you might have a harder time getting a hold of people, and that takes that pressure that on you that I have to get this done, I have to get this done, you can take a step back, and it's okay if it takes you a little longer to get that information all together.
That is
so I thought that was
component.
Nice.
Thank you. That is a key component. If you can push back time right now, of course, that's the variable. So what can you push back time on right now? Honestly, it might be partially your own retirement. It might be you acting on a certain reallocation of your portfolio, perhaps trying to get too conservative or too aggressive, whatever that might be for you. What areas can you push back time on? They're already helping us, the Fed, by pushing back the time, by allowing people more liquidity. It'll be really interesting on the business side. I mentioned speaking with Wade. I asked him if he can come on in the next couple of weeks so we can help provide information to businesses as well. He's checking with his people to see whether or not he'll be able to do that. So we, from our side, are providing as much information as possible. But for you personally, think about what you can do with what there is going, given what's going on.
Right.
Go, Heidi. Any others?
We have a couple more here. The next one comes to us from Brookings. This is the sickest among us. Just 1% of the U.S. population is responsible for 22% of the total health care spending in the country. So that means that 1% of our 329 million people create $800 billion of health care expenses, or an average of $242,000 per person per year. Quite a bit.
It is.
All right. Another one on voting, and this one comes from the Census Bureau. 9.8% of eligible voters for the 2020 presidential election were born outside of the United States, but have since legally become U.S. citizens, a total of 23 million immigrants. So quite a few.
The plan is working. Oh, no. All right. Okay. By the way, can I give the current stats for the markets right now?
You bet.
Yeah.
This is as of 10:36 on Thursday the 19th. The S&P is up 21 points. The Dow is up 103. NASDAQ is up 164. And the Russell's up 28.
This stock market is trying to anticipate the decline anticipated in our economic growth, most likely for one quarter. Possibly two, that'll be relatively significant. So this abrupt, significant decline, the market always tries to anticipate economic decline. That's why the prices have been so dramatic and spun all of our heads around. They're anticipating this decline, and as the numbers come out in the actual economy, the market has pretty much already priced in a lot of this. So just when you see the news about J.P. Morgan saying that, you know, we have this in the first quarter and the next in the second quarter, we'll get to those numbers hopefully. It generally has priced those numbers in already. Okay.
And here I thought it was starting to go back up because they were cheered up by listening to our show. So.
Well, that goes without saying.
Okay, we do have one final stat, and it's called I Got the Flu, which is appropriate. This comes from the Center of Disease Control. So during the 2018-2019 flu season, so that would have been last year, in the United States, approximately November 2018 through mid-April 2019, 35.5 million Americans got sick with the flu. 16.5 million saw a healthcare professional, and 490,600 were hospitalized, and 34,200 died from the flu in the flu season last year.
That helps give some perspective, perhaps.
Yep.
Yes. Some of the ideas. In terms of business, an update on loan options to fund possible working capital needs for small business. Number one, the SBA has now provided preliminary information on the loan program that President Trump mentioned in his address to the nation last week. SBA expects to make the loan program available in the coming days. The loans will be up to $2 million and will be direct loans from the SBA. Terms will be up to 30 years at fixed rates of 3.75% for businesses and 2.75% rather for nonprofit organizations. Borrowers will repay SBA directly. Applicants will apply online and can monitor the latest news and launch a program by going to sba.gov/disaster. There's also some, I would just recommend if you're interested to check that out through the SBA or your local lender, commercial lender. Two, there is a bill in Congress being discussed that would one waive all SBA fees for SBA loans lent through your bank, traditional SBA loan structure, and two, increase the limit on SBA Express lines of credit from $350,000 to $1 million. The bill is not approved yet, but I will confirm back upon approval, Wade says. Three, for existing SBA loans, we have the ability to approve six-month payment deferrals or of principal and interest. Call your loan officer to request that. And interest rates declined yet again today, he said. Now, this was written by him on 316. Interest rate declined again. The Fed dropped the discount rate to zero to 0.25%. This change allowed Chemical Bank to drop its prime to 3.25. Therefore, if you have a floating rate loan tied to prime, your interest rate dropped to 1% today. Five, lastly, refinancing options also may make sense on current fixed rate loans depending on several factors. You can review those and or your own commercial lender can review those at your request. The bottom line is, if you're at all thinking about this in the future, contact your banker. Be proactive, obviously, in this. If, Ron, you actually had a couple of days ago, was it David Dennison?
The restaurant owner, Dave Dennison.
Yeah, that was a good interview.
Yeah, it was a great interview. And I was thinking about all the restaurants in general, locally. Obviously, they're going to be looking at, they're scrambling, trying to figure out how to deal with this. And I love that interview.
He mentioned a local bank called him and said, tell some of your employees if they need a really low interest loan to get through that we want to work with you.
Yeah.
Bridge that time of, you know, where business is slow or they're not able to work to just be able to get through it so we can come out on the other side.
You bet. That's the big deal, of course. Yeah. You know, how do we survive this in the meantime in terms of, for some, especially lower cash flows, jump on it. Go after it. What's available? You might be surprised. Contact your advisors, your banking institutions, all the rest of them in terms of how can I make adjustments? What can I do?
And it might be good to do that now before maybe you start feeling the pain of it so you know what's available to you and you're not waiting until like you have to do things really quickly. But if you find out what you can do, you can sort of have that backup plan ready. Do a little planning.
Absolutely. We have a question, apparently.
Oh, we do. Tom's on the line in Gaylord, Michigan. Good morning, Tom.
Hi there, Ron.
Hi there.
Hi, Dennis.
Hey, good morning.
Dennis, I'm wondering, since IRA accounts are probably down right now, is this a good time to do your Roth conversions?
Tom, it's great to hear your voice. How are things going over in Gaylord?
Real good.
Excellent. So, actually, Heidi was talking about when we were going over the details of what you might do with what there is, given what's going on. Heidi, if you would address that question.
Yep. The number one thing I think people should think about is if you are thinking about a Roth conversion, now could be a great time because then if you think about it in common stock, for example, the number of shares you could move over for that certain dollar amount has increased as the market has declined. So then when you convert the fund, you move it over to the Roth IRA, then the gain, as the market swings back up eventually, that will be tax-exempt from any taxes when you pull that money out.
Tax-free growth. Ron, I see
sort of exciting.
Yes, indeed. So that's significant, whether it's, you know, you can do a conversion of any amount, and you're not limited by age or income. There is no age income or other conversion limitations. As long as you have an IRA, you can convert it to a Roth in any amount you like.
So it's a really good time right now for those.
It could be.
It could be.
Excellent time to do that. We always have to couch what we say.
Right, based on your own situation.
Yes, based on your own personal situation. So what that means, as Heidi mentioned, if that $5,000 grows to $10,000, it's totally tax-free when you take it back out. Totally tax-free. Now, you do have to keep in mind that on the conversion, the amounts in principal come back out tax-free for the first 5 years. In the first 5 years, the gains could wind up being taxable. But that would be a question to ask financially and or specifically with your financial advisor or tax consultant.
Okay. And you want to be over 59 and a half when you take it out.
Yes, absolutely. So otherwise, if you convert it before the age of 59 and a half, then obviously then and you take it out before 59 and a half, there's a penalty on that withdrawal because you never assigned a penalty on the conversion before age 59 and a half. And again, if you need to speak to us directly about that, feel free to do so because I understand that that could be confusing.
Okay, Tom?
Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks
appreciate
for the call
it, Tom.
And Gaylord there.
Were there any other points that you had made in terms of, you had written down in terms of what people can do, Heidi?
Well, this also would be a good time to think of your tax perspective. If, you know, you need to recognize losses or any, there's a lot of different strategies out there that you might take a look at in this environment that could impact your taxes down the line. So it might be something to have a conversation about.
Depending on gains that you want to take versus any losses, even though it's probably a bit hard, I get that, to think through this. It may be beneficial for you to think about that right now. Now, another piece of information we had, were there any others?
Well, we had talked about that dollar cost averaging, how important it is during the downturn to keep contributing to your employer plan, help take advantage of these lower costs of the assets in there as you're making your contribution.
And so. The requirement from the compliance arena is dollar cost averaging only works if you invest through the downturn and then the accompanying uptick as well. So you have to continue to invest through that. Dollar cost averaging does not guarantee a return on assets at all. It just improves your likelihood of that
average cost.
Costing if you invest through that cycle. That's key to that particular strategy. Coronavirus, here's this article from J.P. Morgan. The coronavirus will hit the U.S. economy harder than 2008. That's pretty significant. Now, the market in 2008, right now we're down about 30%, about 29.5 on the Dow to about, what is it right now, Ron, if you
under
don't mind
20.
Looking it up, about 19.5.
As of 10:51 on Thursday the 19th, the Dow's down 211 now for the day.
So
but
bumps.
It's Dow's down 1, S&P 500, well, for the day they're down half a point. What do you want to look up? How much they're down over what time?
No, just the Dow right now, today.
Today right the Dow's now. Down almost 200. It's down 171 now.
The Dow's at 19.7. Okay. 19,700 from about 29.5 or so. So about 10,000 points it's down.
That's
or, of
good.
Course, down about 30%, which compared to 2007, the market was at 14,000. Went to about 6,500 in March of 2009 for perspective. Obviously, then a little bit more than 50%, about 55% or so. Where we're down now, again, about 30%. J.P. Morgan is calling for a sharper U.S. economic contraction in the second quarter due to the pandemic and the country experienced during the worst of the 2008 financial crisis. The firm sees the U.S. economy shrinking by 5.3% from January through March, and 14% during the following 3 months. By comparison, the U.S. economy contracted by 7.2% during the fourth quarter of 2008, its worst of the global financial crisis, according to the St. Louis Fed. Now, obviously, we didn't have all of the impetus being put in by the federal government, and it'll be very interesting to see the interrupters of the recovery of not only the economy that are being put in by the federal government, but also the medical side. Ron, you were talking about that chloroquine. Yes. Yeah. Its ability to possibly help people recover more quickly from the virus. So we're already starting to see the interventions and the partnership between government and the private sector, which I think is unprecedented. And I just got to say a shout out to the administration. This has been something to behold. I mean, talk about inspiring, inspirational. Man.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Dow Jones chart here.
Yes.
And I look at about, like, say, let's call it September 1st of 2007 looked like a peak at that time.
We'll call it October 1st. That was about it. It was about 14,000 on the Dow.
And to get back to that, if I just go across the line over here, it was about April of
2013.
Yeah. So that's, you know, five and a half years. 5 years, yeah.
The bottom occurred in March of 2009.
From the bottom. Okay, I'm looking from the peak before the bottom. Yeah.
So
the bottom
it did take a bit longer. From
about 3 years.
2009 to, what did you say, 13?
Yeah, this is supposed to, so 2009 was the, February of 2009 was the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And it went, got up to peak then about 12, first quarter of 12. So 3 years, 3 years.
Yeah, almost three.
Yeah.
Interesting. So it went a bit longer than the average, but the average is close in that regard. 24 months is the current average, given all the market declines.
But, and that would seem to me, we don't know how long this is going to go on, but back then, I mean, you had banks and investment houses failing. You had companies going out of business. That was a pretty big crash.
It was truly awful. Just thinking back about what that was like. And obviously, it wasn't that long ago. 10, 11 years.
Right. It came from within the financial with the mortgage loan crisis in 2008, 2009. And this one has come from a different sector that we're not used to having such a big impact.
Yes.
So that adds a lot of uncertainty. We're not really sure.
On the other side of this, from the same article talking about this JP Morgan stat, a sharp snap back to 6% growth in the third quarter of this year and 2.3% in the fourth leave the long-term outlook less dire than both the worst year of the financial crisis, which is 2008-2009, and the earliest years for which data is available on the Great Depression. So this snap back, as you kind of referenced, Ron, well, this economy was in incredible shape before this. Thank goodness it was. We have something to bank on in terms of the strength that we have in the economy. All of these things that have been put in to lessen whether we're put in because we had a growing economy, now make it easier for them to adjust as we go down, even though there's lots of argument about, well, how could they cut rates by that degree so quickly? And they're throwing all this money, some refer to as helicopter money. They're obviously, it's going to be a bit reckless from, especially those who are more conservative from that standpoint. At the same time, hopefully it helps, and especially those who need it most. Yes, Ron, question.
We can squeeze a quick call in, I think.
Let's do that, shall
we? Let's go to Mark is in Petoskey for Dennis Prout and Heidi Thompson from Prout Financial Design. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning. Just had a question in regards to the potential checks that the federal government might be sending out. They're talking potentially $1,000. Obviously, that is not free money.
No, it's going to go against the deficit for sure.
Okay, so I guess the question then I have is that money that's going to be taken out of your tax return at the end of the year?
No, I think it's just going to be given out. I don't think it's going to be a clap back from the Fed. I haven't gotten any indication of that.
So you may not have to expect a 1099, eh?
In terms of taxable income?
Yeah. You never know.
I really don't know the answer to that.
They did that with Bush, handed out $600 checks, I think. And I don't
I remember that, too.
I forget if that was taxable or not. All right, Mark, thanks for the
appreciate
buzz. The call. Quick one from Steve from Mullet Lake before we wrap up. Steve's on Mullet Lake. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, folks. Quick question. Maybe you covered it earlier. I tuned in late. RMDs, would it be a good time to delay my RMDs until December? Because it's deleting my principal.
Yes, absolutely. Depending on where it's coming from, if you already have a bond fund that you can draw it from, and we've had those ongoing conversations, where are my withdrawals coming from? If it's coming out of a bond fund, generally in your retirement account, then not to worry. If it's coming out of stock portfolio, then by all means consider pushing that back. Again, time. What can you push back right now?
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.